T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the 18th annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Presented this by is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the 18th annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Can you imagine how blessed I am to be here? This is my bucket list. I'm on the air with Dale Arnold.
Oh, that would do
That's
it.
That's your bucket list?
You gotta shoot higher than that.
You need a bigger bucket, Lil. I'm just saying.
Help us strike out cancer by dialing 877-738-1234 or text KCANCER to 20222 to make a $25 gift. Now, live from Fenway Park, here's Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Welcome back to Fenway Park. It is day two of the 18th annual WEEI NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. We'll be going strong until midnight tonight, and if the phones are ringing, we'll stay beyond that as well. And we're very happy to be joined right now by an old friend. You guys know him as the Rem Dog. He is part of the superb NESN Red Sox telecasting crew. Jerry Remy's with us. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Dale.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Everything's fine. You know, knock on wood, things have been going pretty well for me.
You should be one of our poster children for kicking cancer's ass.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been about 10 years for me, and it's been a long run. It's been a difficult one. But yet, because of all the advances that they have now in medicine and research and technology, and, you know, I'm still here. I mean, 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't be here. But the fact is, things like this, raising money the way that we do, and the folks who are kind enough to send in contributions, all goes to, the research and the... And for them to develop ways to keep people alive, and you've seen story after story that's come through here. It's amazing. It's amazing to me what they're able to do right now, with different types of cancers and how they're able to, prolong your life and in many cases completely get rid of the cancer. So, it's been a difficult run, but it's been one that I've never felt alone with. And I felt like I've had the best people in the world working with me. I use Mass General because that's where I started out. But they all work so close together with with their new advances, and they're always speaking with each other. And it's just amazing to me that they've come up with some of the things they have. Like right now, for example, I'm going through immunotherapy and a vaccine. Now the vaccine was made from a tumor they took out of my chest. And they somehow created a vaccine that one without the other wouldn't work. So I need to get lucky with the vaccine, which I did. And then they give me immunotherapy on top of that. So I've been doing that since probably last September. And everything's been great. The CAT scans have been getting even better and better going along the way. So it just goes to show you how important this is, to get the new advances in cancer treatment.
Well, that's just it. You can speak as well as anybody can about where they were, where they are, and probably where they're going.
Yeah, well, I was presented with an option. This last time that I went in was last August. And the option was not a pleasant one. It was to remove one lung, the right lung. And they told me about quality of life after that, what it was going to be like. And so, I asked if they would please search for something a little bit different than that. Maybe there's another way we could go. And the way they finally came up with was this vaccine. And it was incredible. I just so lucky to be a match for it, first of all. So fortunate that Mass General was able to get it. And so fortunate that it's been working on me. So the combination of both those things, which I get every 3 weeks, is kept me alive, and it's actually given me better scans than I've had in a long, long time. So, when I see these kids and I see the parents of the kids and I see the adults that come up to the booth that are sick, I kind of have a better understanding now of what they're going through than I did, 15 years ago.
Joining us on the line right now is your old broadcast partner, Sean McDonough's with us. Now, you're the one who coined the term rem dog, right?
Yes, I am. And coined, Dale, is a very interesting choice of words on your part. Jerry has made a lot of coin off rem dog merchandise. I mean, napkins, scorecards, hats, whatever, coffee cups. And, you know, I have not seen a nickel from this, but that's all right. I'm happy for Jerry's success over all these years, and I'm more than happy. You know, I think we're all elated to hear what he just said and to be appreciative of the kind of medical care that he has received. You know, I've always said this is the greatest city in America, and one of the things that makes it great is, you know, we have the best medical care in the world, and that's a remarkable blessing for all of us that we have access to it as closely as we do. So happy to be on here with Jerry. Happy to hear him sounding so good because, you know, when he talked about it wasn't that long ago where he had some not-so-good choices. You know, I talked to a mutual friend of ours who said, you know what, I don't know if Jerry's, you know, how it's going to go for Jerry this time. And I think we were all really concerned. And to hear him sounding so healthy and doing such a great job with the games is uplifting, inspiring to all of us.
Sean, thanks for calling in. You know how I feel about you, man. I love you. And so good to hear from you. Sean, you know, I've said many times, you know, it was a major part of my broadcasting career. You know, I've said this over and over that, you know, I never felt really like I became a broadcaster until I worked with him because he brought the very best out of me in many ways. He challenged me as an analyst. He brought out my personality as an analyst, and he's remained a close friend, which I'm proud of. And, you know, I would go to bat for him in anything that he asked me to do, and I know he would do the same for me. I've always received messages from him on my health and how I'm doing, and it's a friendship that's going to last forever. And, you know, I've been very fortunate with the people that I work with, but, you know, Sean has a special place in my heart. He knows it. I know it. I know what he did for me. And you know, I never forget that. I never forget it. And just to have him on the phone right now, kind of almost brings tears to my eyes because you know he really does mean that much to me.
Sean's the best play-by-play guy in the business, present company included. Dale, he's the best in the business.
I got my bucket list a couple of weeks ago. I got to work a game.
No,
with
I did.
It was my bucket list.
Well. Yeah, Jerry and you guys, Dale, Rich, you guys are making me cry now. You know, I feel the same way about Jerry. You can't have more fun, and I wrote this in the foreword to his book, than we had together. You know, I couldn't have enjoyed the experience more. And, you know, I think one of the things that has happened as a result of a lot of the things that have happened in Jerry's life is that, you know, I think it's given him a great appreciation. I mean, I've told this before. You know, I was almost shocked when Jerry said to me not too long ago, we should go to dinner. I mean, before, you know, Jerry just kind of wanted to go home. And now I think, you know, he's experiencing life to the fullest. And, you know, he's such a wonderful guy in addition to the great joy that he's brought all of us. And, you know, I wanted to call in today just to express my gratitude to all the people who have supported this cause over the 18 years, and to hear the other stories the last day and a half or so, it's been really inspiring. And I want to do my part. You know, I've been lucky with my little side hobby here this summer on WEI to make a little extra money. So, in honor of the great care that Jerry's received for 10 years, and in honor of him and what he means to so many of us, I'd like to donate $10,000 to the.
Oh,
to the
that's
cause.
Incredible.
That's very Thank nice, you. Sean.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much, Sean. Now, I am going to say this. As much as I loved Sean and Jerry together, and as much as I loved Jerry on the games, I love when you and Eck work together.
Yeah, I think it's gone very well. You know, we've gotten very good feedback from the fans about it. I at first, I was never big on a three-man booth. I thought it was too much chit-chat. But I think when you get the right combination, I think it works very, very well. And I think this is the right combination. You know, X, a former pitcher. I'm a former position player. I think that works. We've known each other for a long, long time, going back to the minor leagues. And we're actually teammates here with the Red Sox. So we have an awful lot in common. And I kind of know how X thinks, and I think he understands me. And the one thing about it is there's no ego in the booth. So it's like, you know, hey, you want to talk, you talk. I'll talk when you're done. It's not a problem. And so I've come to really enjoy it, the three-man experience, you know. And I think Dave does a great job navigating through both of us. And, you know, I think it's worked very well. I think it's been popular with the fans, and I would actually like to do more of them. I really would.
It's a whole new vocabulary, though.
Well, yeah, you know, I've had to learn this year about a pair of shoes. I didn't know what a pair of shoes was until this year, and I finally found out that, you know, it's strike three where the guy doesn't swing. He's just standing there in a pair of shoes. So I knew all the other ones from playing with him, you know, because he always used that kind
hair and cheese,
you know,
and
all that. I understood all that. But the pair of shoes got me, and I finally figured out what it was. I didn't want to ask him. I didn't want to embarrass myself, but I figured it out.
Sean, how have you enjoyed coming back and doing a bunch of games on the radio?
It's been a blast. You know, I thought it would be. That's the reason when WEEI was nice enough to ask me to do it, that it was easy to say yes. And, you know, as you guys know, working with Joe Castiglione is about as easy as it can be. He's as nice a person as I think any of us know. You know, he's one of those guys that, if somebody said something negative about Joe Castiglione, I would say, you know, there must be something wrong with you, because if you don't like Joe as a human being, there is something wrong with you. So it's been fun. I wish the team had played a little closer to what I think everybody expected, but it's still Red Sox baseball. It's an honor to do it. I mean, there's so many broadcasters all over the country who would, you know, kill to do one inning of a Red Sox game, and I think to you know, have the opportunity to do it. It's what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. And it's still a dream. And, you know, I hope to continue on next year if they'll have me. And I would say one thing, you know, about the three-man booth, having done that several times myself in baseball, basketball, and football, you know, it requires what Jerry just said, you know, a lack of ego and a sense of team. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're their threesome with Dave O'Brien works so well, because, you know, they each have to sacrifice a little bit to make it work. But, you know, what I respect about all three of them is, you know, they're not me first guys. They care about the quality of the broadcast over everything else, and that's one of the reasons why it's so entertaining.
Well, Sean, I'd like to say this. You know, we were so happy when we found out you were coming back to the Red Sox and being part of the family again. And you never should have left in the beginning. That was a huge mistake on their part. And to have you back under fold doing Red Sox baseball is really where you belong. And I was so excited the day that I found out that you were going to be doing some games. And, of course, we've had a chance to meet up on the road a couple of times. And we still haven't had that dinner, but that's coming before you head back to Phoenix. But,
well, I know
you're still holding a grudge. I will. Phoebe and I will take care of dinner.
So. You know what? In exchange for that, maybe I'll just take a couple of the Remdog hats if they're, if they're still out there. But I appreciate that, Jerry. You know, it's not easy when you leave something that, you know, wasn't of your own choosing, and it wasn't my choice to leave. I guess it was 15 years ago. But, you know, I think it's a life lesson about don't burn bridges. And, you know, the Red Sox have treated me very nicely since I left. And so, you know, it's been wonderful to be back in the family, and, you know, Red Sox baseball is special. It has a special place in the hearts of a lot of people in New England and around the world. So that's been a real fun part of it for me, is just to be back and feel like a part of the group.
Well, it's been fun to be a part of this Sean McDonough, Jerry Remy reunion on the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon today. Jerry, I get to see you around the ballpark every once in a while anyway, but it's great to see you looking so well, and we wish you nothing but the best.
Well, I thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, Sean, and thank you. Yeah. Thank you for everything. And let's get that, you know, I think last year we went over 4 million.
We did.
We've got a way to go. Things will pick up, I'm certain, as the afternoon and evening goes on, and we've got to top that number. We absolutely have to do it.
Sean, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks to everybody who's contributing. You know, it gives me my pal Jerry Remy for a lot longer than the season. You know, he would have been around. Wouldn't have made it through these 10 years were it not for the generosity of the people like your listeners and viewers who contribute, and for the brilliant people who take care of people like Jerry. So thanks to everybody who's allowed me to have a lot more quality time with my favorite people.
And thank you for your very generous gift as well, Sean. Thanks. Jerry, good to see you again.
Pleasure. Okay. Thank you.
I'll see you upstairs sometime soon.
Very good. Thank you.
Jerry
Thanks.
Remy joining us here. Sean McDonough joining us as well. And we're happy to also welcome in right now our next guest, who's got the cutest Cam Strong t-shirt on I've ever seen. The strongest man in the land, Cameron Conley, is with us, along with his parents. Joe and Valerie are here as well. And I think, Joe, you're probably going to do most of the talking for Cam. Is that a fair bet? Or is Valerie going to do most of the talking?
Huge debate on the way in about who's going to do most of the talking. But,
we'll split it.
It may be me. Yeah.
So let's talk about Cam for a minute here, Valerie. Tell me exactly what Cam's diagnosis was and how you guys found out.
Yep. Cam was diagnosed with ALL last September. And it all started, he was beginning preschool. And we started noticing some cold-like symptoms. And, stuffy nose, a little cough. He was tired and swollen lymph nodes. And the swollen lymph nodes were not going away. Mm-hmm. And we decided to bring him to the doctors. And they the doctors thought that it was just mono, and they wanted to do a blood test. And a few hours later, we got the call that indeed it was leukemia, or that they wanted us to go to Children's Hospital in Boston. And then we had done further blood tests and learned that it was leukemia then.
And did I read that it was a week after the diagnosis that you guys also found out you're pregnant with another child? How do you process all of this? I feel like there's been so many times, Dale, where there's a milestone moment, whether someone getting engaged, someone moving into a house, someone doing something, and now you're finding out you have another child while having to deal with this.
Yeah, we're in the hospital at Children's, and Val says to me, "Joe, I think I'm pregnant." And I said, "No, you're not." She goes, "No, I really am." I said, "No, you're not." And then I'm running up the street to CVS to get a test, and lo and behold, we found out we were pregnant. And dealing with all the emotions of how we're going to live our new life, and everybody says there's a new normal, and we had no idea what that would have been. And we're trying to figure out what's going on with Cam. And then we realize that she's pregnant with our third, and we're thinking, how are we going to do this? Yeah. We had no idea. But what we learned pretty quickly is that a lot of people rally. A lot of friends and family rally, especially the Jimmy Fund. Mm-hmm. I think 3 days after Cam was diagnosed was the Jimmy Fund walk. And he couldn't move. We had to put him in one of those little wagons that they have at Children's. And there's a catwalk over Jimmy Fund Way.
Yeah.
And we walked over the catwalk, and that's the starting line for the Jimmy Fund. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people down there. And we didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, all at once, the whole crowd turned and roared, waving. And that was probably one of the first biggest emotional moments that my wife Val and I had, that, wow, we're not in this alone. These people are here for us. They don't know us, but they're here for us to support us. And Val grabs me and said, "Let's make sure we're on the other side of that glass in the future." And so that's one commitment that we have, is that how are we going to find ways to give back for all the things that we've received as we've been dealing with this with Cameron.
Cam, do you remember that we met you? We saw you at the Jimmy Fund. Do you remember when we visited with you?
He does. Oh,
he does. He said yes.
You don't forget that face, that Dale face.
I don't forget that face over there.
And so Cameron 4, you have Riley 2, Callan is 2 months. I feel like you were talking about a new normal. There is no real normal, right?
No, it's pure chaos. It's pure chaos.
You're seeing it right here.
We love it. Yeah. We wouldn't have it any other way, but it is absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And I would say, I had to go back to work. Val left work.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out what we're going to do financially, what we're going to do logistically, where's our support system. And while she's pregnant, she's bringing Cam down to Dana-Farber twice a week on Monday and Thursdays to get treatment. And he's getting sick and he's getting tired. She's got this little one hanging on her. And so, another real hero in the story is my wife, Val, and how she's done this all along and continues to be so strong.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are incredible. And you never know what you can do until you have to do it, right?
That's right.
That's right.
That's when you find out.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see all of you. Cam, good to see you again, buddy.
Say thank you.
See you, Cam Bam.
Great.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much.
It's great to see Joe and Valerie and Riley and Callan and the whole crew here. They call it chaos. We like this kind of chaos.
That's good.
We appreciate it. You guys just help us out in any way that you can. Please call 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. Help light up the Arbella tote board. We are currently at $2,130,989. I sincerely thank you for every single one of those dollars, but we need more. and we need your participation, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Live from Fenway Park, this is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Terry Francona. You're listening to the Jimmy Fund Radiothon. Please donate at 877-738-1234 or www.jimmyfund.org. Help strike out cancer in kids.
Back here at Fenway Park, our 18th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. You heard that voice. Terry Francona joins us on the line right now, although Joe Castiglione told me over the weekend you didn't really want to come on and talk with me. Is that what it was, Tito?
I was having a little fun with Joe at your expense, Dale. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, and how are you doing? Your team is going great guns.
You know, we're hanging in there. It's not been easy, but we're hanging in there, and it's really been fun because we're doing it with some younger kids at times and some kids that don't have much experience. But it's really made for kind of an enjoyable, if not challenging, season.
Terry, you know exactly what Alex Cora is going through, winning a World Series in Boston and then trying to follow it up the next year. How challenging is that?
Well, I always tell people it's challenging the first year, let alone, yeah. You know, there's 30 teams that are trying to win, and it's hard enough to win once. But when you go that deep, there's always some repercussions, and it's usually with your pitchers. Just because to win, you have to ask people to kind of go above and beyond what they normally, you know, and we saw it last year with what some of the guys did in Boston, and it takes a toll on some guys. It's hard to get around that.
Alex has been very frank in admitting that he has not been afraid to call you and ask for advice, talk with you, talk with other people. What does that mean when one of your former players wants to reach out to you and ask you for some advice?
Well, I think he's being a little bit complimentary, which is nice. But you know what, Alex, the guys that I know, you know, Kevin Cash, Mickey Callaway, they know how to run their teams. And that's kind of the beauty of the game, is even though you've been with people and maybe you learn something from them. I mean, I've probably learned as much from Alex as he's learned from me. But you stay true to yourself, and that's the biggest thing. And you know, through the ups and downs, and there's a lot of them. I mean, Alex is living it now. You got to stay consistent with who you are, and then you live with it, because that's, if you start changing, that's never going to work.
One of the things that I think really stands out about this baseball season to me was when you went to take Trevor Bauer out of the game. I know Bauer's no longer on your team, but he turns around and fires the ball over the center field fence. Now, I loved it. Now, I'm watching from afar. I was wildly entertained. I noticed you had something to say to him. You weren't as entertained as I was by it. But have you ever, even at any level, seen anything like that before?
Well, I remember Dave Rigetti doing it. I think it was at old Exhibition Stadium in Toronto. But I think it was, I mean, I don't think it was when the manager was coming out. I think somebody hit a home run or something, but I it was a long time ago. That was a first for me, and as you could tell, I didn't quite know what to do. No. You know, I was kind of stunned, but hopefully that won't happen again.
Were you at least impressed by the arm strength? That was my takeaway. No.
Guys, you there?
Okay. You know, a few minutes ago, we had Jerry Remy sitting in here, and he has been very frank and open with his lung cancer battle. Sean McDonough joined him here as well. We've all had to deal with this stuff. You've been over, you know, at the hospital with John Farrell when he was initially diagnosed. So none of us have been untouched by what cancer brings.
Oh, did we lose Terry? We may have lost
guys,
him.
You there?
Yeah, there we go.
You, there you are. Sorry. I'm on my way to the ballpark, and I apologize if my cell service is kind of in and out a little bit.
Yeah, we were just mentioning with Jerry Remy being in here a few minutes ago and talking about his cancer battle, you being at the hospital with John Farrell when he began his treatment. None of us have been untouched by this.
You know what? You know, there's nobody that hasn't been touched by this. And the Jimmy Fund has been, I mean, my goodness sakes, at some point, you know, there's nothing sadder than seeing little kids that are sick. And the Jimmy Fund has done so much to help. And hopefully one day we won't have to have this, you know, because it'll be gone. And that'll be a great day because, I mean, you don't want to see anybody ever be sick. But when you see kids, because, you know, it just rips your heart out.
What was it like for you when you were the manager here and getting a chance to see some of your players, you know, form relationships with these kids and going over there to the clinic or meeting up with them at different times? What was that like?
I think the players do far more than is ever reported. And I know it's not always, you know, the glitziest news, but players do a ton of good stuff. And it's not, like I said, it's not always front and center on the newspaper, nor should it be. It doesn't have to be. It's because they want to do stuff with kids. I mean, shoot, I saw a thing here the other day where Yasiel Puig took a helicopter on his day off to some kids' camp here in New York and spent the day with them. I mean, it just, anytime you're trying to help out somebody else, regardless of what the cause is, you're doing something good, and you're going to make this world a little bit better place.
I was a little concerned because I can remember a spring training interview with you one time when you were on your way to the ballpark and your car got rear-ended. So now I hear you're on your way to the ballpark. I get nervous when I'm talking to you now.
Well, but I'm not the driver, so we're pretty safe, I think. But we are in New York. Yeah, I do remember that. That was not good. My biggest fear today is just not getting car sick, because you've seen this New York traffic, man. It's we've been here for a week, so I'm ready to go back to Cleveland.
Well, the beauty of it is, and I was hoping you were on the road when you said you were on your way to the ballpark, because otherwise you'd be talking to me on that scooter that you ride around.
Yeah, no, I don't scooter and sell. That's
smart.
That's a no-no, even in Cleveland. So I don't do that. I need both hands.
Well, when you were the manager here and we were doing the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, I remember vividly this car pulling up alongside here and this hand coming through the open window, and it was Terry Francona handing us a check. Your support has always been a part of this thing, and we've never forgotten it, and we appreciate you taking the time today as well.
Dale, thanks. I wish you guys well. I think it's awesome what you guys are doing, and I hope you knock it out of the park. I'm pulling for you guys, and I know a lot of people appreciate it. So good luck to you guys, okay?
Thanks, Tito. Thanks, take care.
Okay, see you guys.
See ya. That is former Red Sox manager, current Cleveland Indians manager, Terry Francona, one of my favorite people in sports.
Oh, he's fantastic. Great talking to him. And his team, like you said, playing pretty well. They're holding on to one of those wild card spots. It looks like they're going to have another postseason run.
And he will be right in the middle of it. And
yeah. No Trevor Bauer, though.
No. He didn't seem as impressed with Trevor Bauer throwing it over the center field fence.
They had good arm
were.
Strength. I was impressed by
that
toss.
What you went with was
did he
arm
get traded
strength.
The next day?
Or what? Pretty much.
Pretty close, wasn't it?
It was pretty close to that. You guys, please help us out here, and please continue to make the phone lines light up. We've got a whole bunch of volunteers right outside where I'm standing right now, and they are ready, willing, and able to take your calls. 877-738-1234 is the telephone number. 877-738-1234. Next hour, Red Sox pitchers David Price and Nathan Eovaldi will join us down here in our studios at Fenway Park. as we continue to try to do the best we can to help strike out cancer. Live from Fenway Park, this is the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is my fight song.
Please join Tom Brady.
A really cool thing that WEEI has done for a long time and being a part of this, you know, really special day is something pretty cool. And, you know, hopefully the money raised can go to provide, you know, support for families in need.
And the inspiring patients at the Jimmy Fund.
One of Nixon's favorite things to do when he goes to the Jimmy Fund is to dress up. And he'll go as a policeman or he'll go as Brock. We asked him once why he did it, and he said because it makes people smile and it makes him feel happy and it just changes the day.
Strike out cancer. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift. Now back to the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Back here at Fenway Park, our 18th annual WEEI-NESN Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. Joining us right now is Abe Landau, who is from Jamaica Plain. You know how, Rich, sometimes somebody will say, you know, let's have this guy pick my lottery numbers because he's really lucky?
Yes.
That wouldn't be Abe.
Not Abe.
No, that would not.
I would not ask him for
that. That would not be Abe, who goes to see his primary care physician in 2015 for a routine checkup, and they tell you, you've been diagnosed with testicular cancer. And, oh, by the way, you've also been diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, too? What the heck is going on here? How do you get diagnosed with two different cancers at the same time?
Yeah, that's a real good question. And I definitely confused all my doctors at first with it, too. I won't forget, you know, I went in for a routine physical and, you know, I had been kind of putting it off for a while, and I actually canceled my first appointment back in January, and then with it getting rescheduled for June 26, 2015, they forgot to send the paperwork to go get the blood testing before my checkup. So I went in, everything looked great. Then my doctor, Dr. Tarnell, just asked, you know, let's do the blood work afterwards. So I remember I was at Blanchard's getting a bottle of wine to have with my partner, Jen. And I got a phone call Friday night, and Dr. Tarnell was like, you know, something looks a little off. We're not really sure what's going on. So we'd like you to go down to Brigham Women's, get some more testing. And I walked in, you know, Friday night ER, everything's triage. And the guys in front of me are, you know, bleeding, having a tough night. And they're telling them, you know, 5-6 hour wait. And I get next and they go, oh, your room's right over here. So I was like, uh-oh, things aren't good. And so I went in, and I remember spending the night there. Everyone was, you know, super friendly, but everyone was just trying to figure out what was going on because statistically you don't get diagnosed with two forms of cancer at one. You know, one can lead to another spreading in your body, but it very rarely happens independently. So for, you know, 24 hours, they were going back and forth. My blood doctor and then my Dr. Sweeney, who was my doctor for testicular cancer, just trying to figure out, you know, chicken or the egg. And then, you know, it came back, and sure enough, as far as bad luck goes, I was really lucky because within a week's time, I was, you know, had a surgery, didn't have to go through any chemo for the testicular cancer. And luckily, I'm on one of the first targeted chemo treatments with very mild reactions, and you know, my white blood cell came down, and you know, here I am.
I'm still so taken back by this. So when you were told, was it back to back? Like, hey, you have this and you have this, or was it you have this? Here's how we can maybe go about treating it, and then, oh, by the way, I'm going to add on leukemia, or I'm going to add on testicular cancer. Like, how did that whole conversation go?
Yeah. So, you know, what triggered it was my white blood cell count was over 500 times higher than it should be. So, you know, they were and they did an ultrasound because I had a tumor on my testicle. And, you know, again, they're just trying to figure out what's what because the testicular could lead to higher white blood cell counts and all that. And you know, for the first day or two, really, well, actually for longer until they got, I had to do a bone marrow test to confirm the CML. And until that came back, they, you know, it was still trying to figure out what's what. So it was just, you know, routine physical. Everything was pretty good. And numbers just looked bad in my blood tests, which, you know, I can't advocate high enough for people doing their blood testing and getting physicals regularly because I was, you know, able to find this before it had spread. And, you know, you joked about having bad luck, but it could have been so, so much worse. Played the lottery a little after. Didn't go well, but...
No. The first WEINS and Jimmy Fund radio telethon was in 2001. This is the 18th version of this. 2001 is important because your cancer is under control in large part to a drug that was developed in 2001. I mean, that's the sort of advancements we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, this year has been really special for me. You know, since being diagnosed, I've been trying to figure out how to live with having a chronic form of cancer, but also wanting to feel like I'm giving back more and whatnot. So this year, between this, I just ran the wrote in the PMC a few weeks ago. But it was 4 years was kind of an important year because prior to 2001, the lifespan was 3 to 5 years with CML. So without imatinib and the pill I take every day, there's a good chance I wouldn't be here. So
now, when treating both at the same time, were there certain things that you couldn't do because of it would affect the other treatment, or how did that all take place?
Yeah, again, really, really lucky for you know, CML has less than 9,000 people diagnosed annually with it, which is too big of a number, but as far as cancer goes, it's pretty small. And the imatinib itself doesn't have much side effects, so that wasn't so bad. And luckily with my testicular cancer, it hadn't spread yet. So I literally, you know, got diagnosed or went in for my checkup on a Friday and had my surgery by Wednesday of the final week or the next week, and didn't have to have any more treatment as far as that, and was clean. Just regular testing to make sure that we were doing all right. So the biggest thing after the surgery was really just making sure that my white blood cell count was coming down with the imatinib for the CML, which it did. So,
testicular cancer is pretty uncommon.
Yeah.
Going back to your whole luck thing again,
right.
Sorry, Abe, but it's pretty uncommon, right?
Yeah. Testicular cancer is pretty common in young people. The CML is the one that's really not. And then the other curveball with it, too, the average person that gets CML is 64 when they have it, and I was 31,
right, half after, of that.
Yeah, at the time. So again, going back to, you know, people don't get two forms of cancer at once, and then, you know, not being 64, it was pretty interesting.
How did the doctors and nurses at Dana-Farber sort of help you along this whole way?
Yeah, the people at Dana-Farber, you know, my partner Jen and I, we talk all the time about how it's the worst but the best place in the world, you know. And at this point, I go back every quarter for a blood test for my CML, and I just feel so lucky when I go there. You know, the people there, they do everything possible, and there's so many volunteers that just go in there to try to make, you know, someone having, you know, potentially the worst day of their life as good as possible. And they do, you know, all the little things from you know, they don't tell you false promises, but they're honest with you, and their compassion and caring there is just like nothing I've ever experienced before. So, you know, it's really lucky, you know, living in JP, you know, the first thing they do, they ask you, you know, how long did it take to get there? And luckily I can joke, and a lot of times I ride my bike there.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have to worry about being put up in hotels, but, you know, you're sitting next to someone that's come. I grew up in Maine. Mm-hmm. There's constantly people there from Maine and all over. You know, it's one of the top cancer facilities in the world, and people come from all over the place to get the treatment there. So, you know, again, back to really lucky as far as bad luck goes, you know, to have it in my backyard.
I'll take it all back. You are lucky.
Yeah, you know what? Turns
you know
out.
Maybe you should be picking my lottery tickets, because I'm thrilled that things have gone as well for you as they have so far. I I love your attitude. I really do. And the way you approach this whole thing. You're an inspiration.
Thanks.
Good to see you, Abe. Thanks.
Thanks for having
Thank
me.
You. Abe Landau joining us here as we continue on. 877-738-1234 is the telephone number. 877-738-1234. You can text the letter K, cancer, K, cancer, to 20222. That'll make it easy to make a $25 donation. There are many ways to donate and help us light up the Arbella tote board. Live from Fenway Park, you're listening to the WEINS and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.